Just something about it, I guess. But take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. We're going to read verses 6 through 12 of Genesis chapter 8. And we will read responsibly. I'll read, and you read, and so forth. Genesis chapter 8. Let's stand as we do so for the reading of the Word of God. It came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. Verse 12 together. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth a dove, which returned not again unto him any more. Now, Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time, Lord. I pray, God, that you will fill your servant. I pray, God, that I would only speak that which you want spoken to this morning. I pray that if there's any lost one here today, that perhaps they, before they leave, they'll know you as personal Savior. I pray that if there's any discouraged one or that needs encouragement, I pray, God, that Holy Spirit, you would do your job in whatever fashion you need to do it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Very familiar story. I've got to speak to you on the subject, God, are you there? God, in the form of a question, God, are you there? Have you ever gotten to a point where you wonder, and maybe even ask God, are you there? Perhaps you feel that way now. You ask God, where are you? Because perhaps you're feeling overwhelmed by the busyness of life, along with carrying some other burden or heartache. You're trying to maintain your schedule, and then you've got other heartaches and things that you're trying to deal with, and you ask God, are you there? Maybe sin. Sin has a tendency to separate us from God, if you will. Not to lose your salvation, but when we have known sin in our life, sin may cause us to ask, God, are you there? Because of the separation that you feel, you wonder, God, where are you? Maybe unforeseen pressure causes one to ask, God, are you there? Heartaches cause one to ask, God, are you there? Disappointments, maybe someone disappointed you, and it caused you to ask, God, are you there? Financial crisis, more month, if you will, than money, as I've stated before, God, are you there? Maybe this is the excitement of something new in life. Maybe like a new job promotion is always exciting. Maybe when you get a new job and maybe a little bit more money, and maybe something new or what have you came into your life. It's exciting at first, but unbeknownst to you, some pressure eventually came with that excitement, with that situation. And the excitement you once had is diminished, and you ask God, are you there? I think that maybe kind of happened to Noah. A very familiar story. Of course, Noah, read the story, and I'm going to go ahead and read one verse without you turning to it by way of introduction. You don't need to turn to it. If you may, you can if you want to. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." We're going to refer to that along the way. But Noah, of course, in this familiar, very, very familiar story, he was a just man, the Bible says, back in chapter 6. He was righteous. He was a known, in 2 Peter 2:5, you'll find him noted as a preacher of righteousness. And also he was perfect in his generations, meaning he was an upright, he was sincere, he was honest in all his ways. Noah had an impeccable, if you will, an impeccable reputation. God looked down and saw the wickedness of man. The Bible says that God was sorry that he made man, Genesis 6, verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. That word repent there in the Hebrew in that particular verse means that to be sorry for. God looked down at the earth, at man, and he saw man's wickedness, and he was sorry. He repented him. He changed his mind. He wishes that he'd never gone ahead and created man because they grieved him so. Well, let me stop and ask you a question. Are there issues, or maybe there are things in your life that God looks down? As a child of God, are there issues in your life that maybe he'd be grieved with? Maybe there's things there that are not there. As I mentioned before, sin has a tendency to cause us to lose sweet fellowship with God, if you will. Not lose your salvation. You can never lose your salvation. You've been saved. He's got you in the palm of his hand. But maybe there's some sin that's infiltrated in your life, and there's been kind of a separation there from God, and that caused you to ask, God, are you there? Maybe there's someone here today. There's some issue in your life. You're not in line with God, and you wonder, God, where are you? Could God be grieving perhaps in his heart because of some things in your life today? God was sorry here in our story. God was sorry that he had created man because of their wickedness. He was going to do something about it. Of course, he's God. He can do something about it. We know the story. He found a righteous man. His name is Noah. He was going to go ahead and destroy the earth. He was going to wipe away all mankind and all living upon the earth. He was going to go ahead and do something about the wickedness of the earth at that time. And he says, I'm going to go ahead and make it rain 40 days and 40 nights. Rain, what is rain at that time? Nobody knew what rain was. No one in his family, along with the animals, two by two, were going to go ahead and be safe, and they were going to go on to an ark, as we know the story. I wonder when God came to Noah how Noah's heart felt. Noah, of course, he was a righteous man. He was a preacher of righteousness. And I believe, you know, if you want to take all that, he was a soul winner, and he would go ahead and try. And I may perhaps think that Noah saw the wickedness of man as a man of God. I think maybe he went ahead as he was trying to preach the word of God and tell people about Christ. He could see that people were cold and turning their heart away from God, didn't want anything to do. I think perhaps he even saw it. But I wonder what he thought when God came to him with this big task and said, I'm going to go ahead and, Noah, use you. You are a righteous man. I'm going to go ahead and save you and your family and your wife. I'm going to go ahead and save you, but know this is what you got to do. I'm going to go ahead and destroy the earth because of man's wickedness, and it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. I can imagine when Noah was sitting there, maybe, and God was telling him this, rain? What is rain? And I can imagine that when God said, you're going to go ahead and build an ark, and it was going to be so big and so forth, and it's going to be, you're going to build an ark with gopher wood, and I can imagine Noah thinking, what? An ark? I can perhaps imagine that maybe he was kind of wondering, okay, all right, if you say so. And after all the task was told to Noah, what he was to do, I wonder what he thought, what am I going to tell my wife? You know, I could imagine. I mean, think about it. And I'm not trying to be funny here, but think about it. Here, they didn't know what rain was, and God was going to destroy the earth. And yeah, I'm sure that Noah even saw the wickedness of the earth. And I'm sure that maybe Noah was misunderstood because of his stand for Christ. And people looked at him maybe funny. That's okay, though, by the way. But God looked down, he saw Noah. There was a righteous remnant, if you will. There was some people there that served God. Noah was a righteous man. He was upright. He was sincere. He was honest. He had an impeccable reputation. And boy, we ought to be learning, or we ought to be going to that kind of reputation. Boy, somebody ought to look at you and say, boy, you're an honest man. You're an honest lady. You have an impeccable reputation. Boy, that's a good trait to have, by the way. Honest and upright and just. But the truth of the matter is, I can imagine Noah, after that task was told him, wow, I could well imagine that he might have thought, I can't rain an ark. Wow, what am I going to tell my wife? My wife is going to think I've gone over the coop here. She's going to think, what in the world? I can just well imagine maybe some of the thoughts. I think I would have thought that. I can well imagine that what am I going to tell my kids? I can maybe see him coming in, if you will, at this time, saying, honey, and telling the kids and the wives and so forth, you know what, we're going to go on a cruise. Cruise? Cruise? What is a cruise? I mean, you know, I don't think it wasn't in the Bible there, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to set sail. What? And But think here just a moment, some of the puzzled looks that there must have been. We've never seen rain. It's always been dry. It's the climate's always been wonderful and pleasant and so forth. And why? And I can imagine Noah's wife going, huh? Okay. And maybe when Noah got into it, I think my wife would like it. Maybe when Noah got into it, said, hey, we're going to go ahead and we're going to build a ship. Okay, if you say so. But we're going to be set sailing for a long time. I'm sure at first I said something about excitement. When the excitement of something new comes, it seems pretty exciting at first, doesn't it? You know, when you first get saved, boy, there's an excitement there. I mean, it's like there's a burden lifted up, and boy, you get excited, and wow, you know what? You're just ready to go ahead and squirt hell with a squirt gun, and you want to go ahead and see people saved. I mean, there's an excitement there, but after a while, it kind of like, boy, it's hard to take a stand. It's hard to go down to the job site and take a stand for Christ and so forth, but Noah did, by the way. And I can imagine when he said to his wife, you know, this is going to be exciting. This is going to be a new job. Boy, God's going to use us. And maybe in the back of his mind, he's wondering, I don't understand it, but we're going to go ahead and do it. And maybe his wife said, yeah, we're going to go on a cruise and take the family, and this is going to be great. But, you know, of course, all the work that went into building that ark, all the time building that ark, I'm sure that Noah, as he was building and his sons and his family was building, I'm sure that people thought, what in the world is Noah doing now? You know, he goes up and down, he preaches the gospel, and you know, he's kind of a different guy down there because of what he believes. He believes in God and so forth. And hey, the wickedness of man was turned against Noah and the thoughts of the Word and God. So no doubt, and some of you might feel it as well today. You go down to the job site and you want to take a stand for Christ, and maybe you're one of those, and that's a great thing if you do. You take your New Testament with you, and at lunch you read the Bible, and people will scratch your head and say, what in the world? You're a crazy nut. That's okay. That's okay, by the way. But you try to take a stand, and you want to do right, and you want to serve God. You say, preacher, seems like every time I go ahead and try to serve God, I mean, the criticism comes, and the peer pressure upon me to do right comes, and I fall again. You know, let me just stop and say this. You know, just get back up. Jesus, keep on getting back up, and you just keep on staying focused on God, and you keep on serving him. But Noah, you know, no doubt his neighbors questioned, what in the world? No doubt that maybe even to a point his wife questioned, I'm not sure, what in the world? And his kids and people questioned him, and people said, what in the world is crazy Noah doing now? What is he doing? He's building this ark. He says it's going to rain. He went ahead, and I believe he continued to warn the people, hey, this is what's happening. I got to do this because God told me to, and he's going to destroy the earth, and I'm sure that he was being laughed at and being scorned. Hey, I've been laughed at because of my stand. I've been scorned at because of my stand, but that's okay, by the way. But Noah, because of his love for God, did not waver to being called weird or being called crazy and he wasn't going to be unstable because of his stand. He was going to just keep on going without wavering. You know, you take a stand for God on the job, at the mall, in a restaurant, you're going to be thought of as a bit crazy too. But that's okay. Our lifestyle as Christians is not to reflect the world, but testify the grace of God. Well, you know, people ought to be able to look and say, you know, that there's something different. You know, that person went to church and God spoke to their heart and they got saved, or someone knocked on their door and they got saved, and there's been something different about that individual ever since that preacher stopped by, that soul winner stopped by, or ever since they went to that church service, there's been something different about that individual. Boy, they got saved. They say something, they got saved, but there's something different. There ought to be something different about you. We ought not be reflecting the world, but we should be testifying the grace of God. Noah was a different kind of man. He had a godly testimony. He wasn't going to waver when people looked at him crazy. He was just going to go ahead and do all that God commanded him. And as godly as he was, though, I can't help but wonder if he wondered, God, are you really sure about this? I can't help but wonder, as he was building the many months and all the time building that ark, people making fun of him. God, are you sure about this path that you want me to take? I can't help but think. Remember when I was called to preach, called to go into full-time Christian service, I thought, God, you got the wrong number. Lord, I don't think, you know, God, you sure? Me? You want me to do this? I mean, you know, and I got thinking, God, you want me to serve you full-time? No, God, you must mean that person over there, that guy over there, not me. But God said, I want you. Maybe you're there today. Maybe God is working on your heart about doing something, and who knows what it is. Maybe it's working in church, in the church as a Sunday school teacher, or whatever the case may be. Or maybe God's working on your heart about the Sunday services and your faithfulness and reading the Word of God. Maybe God's working on your heart. You say, God, you want me to go ahead and read the Bible every day? Yeah, I want you. I want you to go ahead and read the Bible every day. I this book is for us, by the way. You want me to go ahead and serve you in the church? Yeah, I want you. You want me to go ahead and be faithful to? Yeah, I want you. Boy, you know what? And when you do that, boy, it's amazing how much God will just go ahead and pour his blessing upon you when you just totally let go and say, and let God do something big in your life. Noah must have felt, boy, this is some kind of different idea, God. You sure about this? But God, I'm going to trust you and follow you regardless of the criticism. I'm going to go ahead and trust you and follow you regardless of being made fun of. Let me say this. I love being saved. I mean, I love church. I mean, I look forward to church. I mean, you know, working around here yesterday and some of the men, we just had kind of a work day. Yeah, the fellowship of it all. I enjoyed it, man. You know, I just love it. I love it. I just love being saved. And you know what? And I have been. I go out soul winning. I'll go door knocking. People make fun of me and so forth and be criticized. But you know what? That's okay. That's okay. Let me just say this. You may go on the job site. You know, I used to work in the world. Boy, did I used to work in the world, just like some of you. I used to go ahead and be made fun of because of I'd bring my Bible to work and read my Bible, and people would be over in the corner whispering, making fun of me. Hey, there's a preacher, man, so forth. But that's okay. That's okay. It didn't bother me. You know, I was just going to go ahead and do all that God wanted me to do. And Noah did the same thing. He did all according to what God commanded him. Noah, I think maybe somewhat, perhaps, I think I would have. He wondered about the task that God had placed in front of him. But he continued to go ahead and preach and follow the Lord, and he never wavered. Of course, the journey starts, and he gets on the boat, and he loads the animals two by two. We know the story. I'm just kind of brushing through it here. The rain starts to come, something they've never seen before, but you know what? So far, so good. God said it was going to do this. And the cruise, if you will, begins. The ark sets sail. Where? They didn't know. Think of that. They wasn't quite sure where. Okay, this thing's going to float and we're going to sail. I mean, think about it a little bit. But they really wasn't sure. I mean, everything was covered. They wasn't quite sure where they were going. But let me say this, you know, but God does. You know, in your time of wondering, in your time of, you know, maybe questioning, if you will, And you say, God, you want me to do this, you want me to do this, you want me to do this, and you sometimes you just don't know where it's going to take you. But, you know, let me just say this, God does. You just need to go ahead and trust him. You know, think of all the faith that these eight had to go ahead and place in God. Well, you think of all that they had to go ahead and do. They had to go ahead and really say, okay, God, all right, we're going to go ahead and do this. You want my family and my sons and their wives. You want us to build an ark. You want us to do this, do this, do this. And when they got in the boat, they weren't quite sure, where are we going? But let me just say this, and maybe you're feeling that way today. Say, man, I'm on this ship, if you will, of the Christian life, and I want to serve God, and I'm trying to grow, but you're not always sure where you're going. But let me just say this. You know, God knows where you are. God knows your need. God knows your heartache. God knows where you're going. You just need to go ahead and trust him. Maybe you're cruising around like this boat, if you will, and you want to say, God, where am I going to be landed? Where am I going to be placed? Where do you, you know, when I submitted finally to the will of God, finally, it took me a while. Yes, I was called to preach at 16, called to serve God full time at 16, but the truth of the matter is it really did take me 10 years to really follow it. You know, I don't have time to go into that story, but it really, really, really did. No, I did not necessarily backslide. I mean, we were in church, and I got married during that time, and I'm glad everything, you know, God used it all. But the truth of the matter is, before I really started getting into this thing of serving God full time, you know, I was apprehensive. I really wondered. But finally, when I submitted and say, okay, God, that's what you want me to do. You know, God landed me in Chicago. I was set sailing, so to speak. God landed me in Chicago. Here, a country boy. I was a country boy. I mean, I grew up on the farm. I worked in the woods. I milked cows. I mean, I did it all, man. You know what I mean. I did it all. But the truth of the matter is, God, because he wanted me to serve him, God wanted me to be a preacher. You know, eventually he landed me in Chicago and say, Chicago, that's where I went to Bible college. But the truth of the matter is, listen, the truth of the matter is, hey, you may not always know where you're going, but God does. You just need to go ahead and place him. Oh, I think of when they got on in the weeks and weeks and weeks they were on that ship, on that ark, if you will, the weeks and weeks and weeks that they were there. Boy, there were a lot of activities on that boat. There was a lot of things that they had to do. Hey, you get a bunch of animals on there. You know what? There's some duties that need to be taken care of. Amen. I'm sure that after about a week or so of all them animals, you got to feed them. Amen. But when you feed them, you know, we don't need to go any further. I'm sure that after a while, it got warm. I'm sure that the aroma wasn't like Chanel number 5. Is that right? I don't know. Okay. I'm sure it wasn't all that pretty smelling. I mean, boy, let me tell you something. I go up to my wife, and she'll go ahead, boy, you smell real pretty. Let me tell you something. I guarantee if Noah got up and Noah's wife got up and sprayed something, it didn't make a difference. That's reality, though. Think about it. 450-foot-long boat by about, I think, 75 feet. You know, the quarters got to get a little bit tighter and tighter. I'm sure they were getting stir crazy. If you think about it, think about how you'd feel. You stay cooped up in a room, if you will, you know, after several months. You got to go clean out these stalls. I mean, but think about what you'd be thinking. Noah, no doubt, as a human being, he thought the same thing. And I wonder that as that boat was just going wherever God was leading it. And maybe the tight quarters, and, you know, you get in tight quarters, you know, every once in a while, you like to get out and go for a walk, get away from people once in a while. And the stench, you just couldn't seem to get rid of it. And boy, you just long for a breath of fresh air. I wonder, though, if Noah every once in a while, maybe when the wife said, honey, what's going on here? Maybe the kids were saying, Dad, what's going on here? This is really, you know, this is going long here. This battle, this thing that we're doing, this is really going long here. But Noah, no doubt he had words of comfort. He says, you know what, God's in charge. But you know, sometimes that can only go so far. Truth of the matter is. I wonder if Noah, being that godly man, if he got into the corner and he says, God, I don't know what you're doing here, but God, something's gotta happen here. You know, the rain's done, and so far, you know, so far so good. Everything's gone according to the plan that God had told Noah, but you know, something's gotta happen. And the Bible says in our text, you know, he sends out a raven. Nothing. Sends out a dove, and the dove comes back. Nothing. I'm going real quick. We know the story. And then let me just read on here. And when he sent forth a raven, I'll just read these verses, and went in verse number 7, chapter 8, went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. The raven never came back, so who knows. And then also he went forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. The dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her unto him into the ark. Yet he stayed another 7 days, the Bible says, right on down. He sends that ark out, the Bible says, number 11, and the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. I got to think about that this week. Maybe in all the frustration, you might be feeling it right now. But maybe, I can imagine, if it were me, I think I'd be getting a little, wow, God, I need fresh air. I want to get off this boat. God, you know, something, come on, God, something's got to happen. I can imagine that Noah might have felt somewhat overwhelmed. Hey, God, the excitement of this task is not so exciting anymore. It's been a little bit too long. God, you know, something, come on. And when he sent forth the dove the second time, I can imagine the breath of fresh air when that dove came back with an olive leaf. I can imagine the rejoicing. Hey, I can see Noah taking that. Hey, honey, hey, their kids. Hey, you know what? The dove brought back an olive leaf. Hey, you know what that says? That proves to me that God is faithful. It shows the faithfulness of God. Hey, Noah, I promised you. I told you everything's been in line so far. You just got to trust me. You don't always understand it. You don't always understand why you've got the struggle. You don't always understand why you're in the valley. You don't always understand why life goes like this and this and this and this. But let me tell you something. God is faithful. And I can imagine when Noah saw that olive leaf, he was excited. And I can maybe imagine maybe they were around the table. They were praising God and say, oh, God, oh, forgive us for our not trusting you, but God, thank you for the olive leaf. Hey, let me tell you something. You're just waiting for that olive leaf. Don't you give up on God. Don't you quit on God. Don't you turn your back on God, because the olive leaf will come. You just remain faithful. You just keep on being faithful. You just keep on getting in the Word of God, and you trust Him. Hey, listen, up till this time, God's plan was working. Everything that God had gone ahead and told Noah, you know what, the rain, the 40 days, you're going to go ahead and float around and different things. Everything that God had told Noah was happening, but it just went a little long. And you know, the Bible's through and through says, you know what, we're not exempt from affliction. We're not exempt from heartache. We're not exempt. We talk about that and so forth. But let me tell you something. We're also not exempt from the love of God every single day. We're not also exempt from the fact that God will go ahead and carry you through. We're not exempt from the fact that He never leaves you, forsakes you. We're not exempt from the fact that He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We're not exempt of the fact that He loves you and He wants to give you all. And you don't always understand down here, but let me tell you something. You just keep on loving God. You keep on walking with God. You keep on being faithful. You keep on serving. You keep that bus route. You keep that Sunday school class. You keep teaching your children the Bible. And let me tell you something. Even when you feel like, I don't know if I can keep on going, just like that great man of God, I believe he had to have felt that. You know what? The olive leaf will come. God, are you there? I can well imagine. You know, I know I felt it. There are times that, you know, and I won't dive all into this. Some of this is familiar territory, but you know, when I stepped into this pastor position, it is a different position than what I was used to. And I sit back there and I study and I pray, and God knows, He knows that I want to give you something. Well, He knows that I want, you know, He knows, and I say, He knows I love my people. And He knows the very fact that I'm odd, and I say it, I'm odd that I'm here. But you know, and when I hear your heartaches, and when I hear your burdens, and when I hear the phone calls, preacher, pray for this, this has happened, and I'm glad, I want them to come in, because I want to pray for you, and I do pray for you. I want them to come in and let them flood my office, and I'll jot them down, I will pray for you, and so forth. But there are times that when you see maybe financial issues and this and that, and maybe, who knows, different things that happen around the church, you know, there are times I say, God, are you there? But just about the time, you know, you just kind of get frustrated, and we all feel that way, amen? But it seems like God shows up with an olive leaf. Just that breath of fresh air, say, hey, Sean, I'm there. I've not left you. You know, some of you might be feeling maybe how I think, because Noah was human. I'm sure that the smell got old, really old. I'm sure the fact that the children and maybe the wife, man, this is, you know, I can't, you know, I'm sure. I'm sure that there was maybe some frustration from time to time. But Noah being that man of God, he probably had some feelings. And he was, God, where are you? Boy, I need you. Boy, we sent out the raven. Who knows where the raven is? Sent out the dove and was so hoping that something would come back to show that this is on its final end. But then he waited another 7 days, another week. But boy, the third time, you know what? God showed up. God, it may not be, listen, folks, it may not be the first time. You say, God, let it, it may not be the first, it may not be the raven. And it may not be the dove the second time. You know what? Noah remained faithful. You know what? Maybe Noah could have gone in and said, you know what, forget it. I'll just sit back and wait. And if my wife wants to get upset and everybody, I'll just sit back and wait. But you know what? He says, no, I'm gonna be faithful. And I wait another 7 days. And he sent the dove out again. And the third time, God went ahead and said, hey, listen, you know, there's that little olive leaf. That proved the faithfulness of God. You know, when the disciples, when Jesus, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, of course, the disciples, I can imagine, they walked with God and they loved Jesus. They saw the miracles. They served with Jesus in his earthly ministry. And when he had not yet ascended, they were there wondering, God, man, what about us? I can just admit, what about us? And he says there in John chapter 14, I'm not going to turn to it right now, but he says this, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yeah, Jesus, his earthly ministry was done. He died. He was just getting ready to go unto his Father, being ascended into heaven. But he says, hey, disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You know, I can imagine Noah feeling, but you know what? He portrayed it the same way through that dove, and the dove being a picture of the Holy Spirit. Hey, you know what? Listen, Noah, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I came to you by way of an olive leaf to show you my faithfulness. Noah perhaps asked, are you there? Maybe you're here today. You say, Lord, you say, Pastor, you know, I'm there. I don't know if I just keep on going. I'm there. You find yourself asking God, are you there? The journey's been long. God, are you there? The heartaches are continuous. God, are you there? Yeah, what you thought might have been a joyous change in life, as perhaps Noah, this is exciting, but you find, boy, the pressure comes in. God, are you there? The unforeseen pressures of life, a death of a loved one, illness, unexpected, who knows what it is? God, are you there? Maybe there's sin that causes it, that sin that's there, and it's building bigger and bigger and bigger, and the separation between you and God causes you to ask, God, are you there? Why don't you get it right? The Bible, let me just give you a few thoughts and I'll move through and we'll finish. You know, God will not give you more than you can handle. The Bible says, and I read this verse, there is no temptation taken you but such as common man to man, but God is faithful. I had that verse, that portion is underlined in my Bible, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Hey, God, number one, will not give you more than you can handle. He promises it right there in his word. He will not. You need to trust him. Number two, real quick, God chooses the right people for the right task. Noah was the right man for this job. Noah, God looked down and said, you know what, Noah, you're righteous. You can handle this. And he saw that. But God will choose the right people for the right task. You know what, there's things that, you know what, some of us couldn't handle the vastness of a flood, perhaps. But you know what? There's other things that God will go ahead and put you through, and to for you to prove his love to him. He'll try you in different things, but he will not. Bottom line, he's not going to give you more than you can handle. Some can handle the caliber of a flood in life, while others can't. But God only gives you that which you can grab a hold of. No matter what you're going through, and you will go through it, by the way, sometime. But remember them three words in that verse, God is faithful. You just keep hanging in there, because just about the time when you wonder, God, what in the world is going on? You know what? There's the olive leaf. There's the olive leaf. And then just don't forget when, and it will, when you arrive to safety as they did, when you arrive, when you get the victory, and you will, don't remember to give thanks unto God. You know what? When Noah got to land, I can imagine all them months and weeks. I mean, I can imagine, you know what? He ran off that ark, got a big breath of fresh air. I'm sure they all did. And I'm sure, you know, to some degree, he wanted to just sit down and say, is this really ground? I can imagine. I think I would have. You know what? The Bible says later on that he built an altar. And there was a sweet savor that went up towards heaven. Noah went ahead and gave thanks. And God looked down and says, you know what? I promise I will never flood the earth again. what I'm trying to say, what the Bible's saying this morning, what God's saying. You know what? God's faithful, folks. He loves you. Don't turn your back on him. Just keep on keeping on. You say, I want that olive leaf now, Pastor. Yeah, I know you do. And I do too. But you know what? You just keep on going forward. And you keep on serving God. You keep on doing what God wants you to do. And he'll show his faithfulness to you. I'm sure that Noah, he felt the pressure. And he wondered, God, are you there? As maybe some of you do this morning. But God simply responds with an olive leaf. Noah, yes, I'm here. I don't know where you are today. Maybe you're here today that you're going through it. And you're saying, man, I want that olive leaf. Why don't you today decide, you know what, God, I'll come down and, Lord, whatever the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about, why don't you just go ahead and get with God and talk to him about it. See, sometimes we make it worse. We have a tendency, and even I do, you know, we sometimes fail to go ahead and go to the one that can really help us. And who's that? Jesus. You know, and he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear about it. Bear your heart to him at the altar and say, God, you know this, you know this, you know this. Oh, God, I certainly need your grace. I need your strength. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not going through it. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You just keep on. You be a testimony to those who are going through it, I should say. If you aren't going through it this morning, you're not going through a tough time, you're not really in a questioning mind, it will come, by the way. You better be prepared for it because it will come. There might be a big task that God has you do. He may put you through it, if you will. And I'm not saying that's exciting, but the truth of the matter is there may be times he will. But why don't you go ahead and be an encouragement to those who are? Boy, you ought to use that, use your mountaintop, if you will, and go to those that you know are hurting. Hey, let me have a word of prayer with you. Let me help you out. Hey, you be an encouragement to those who need to be encouraged. Use it as a ministry. And by the way, you are going through it, you use it as a ministry too. You use it as an example to younger people under you. Hey, you know what? I'm going to get through this battle by the grace of God. I'm going to get through this battle. And you don't go ahead and quit on God so that younger people don't see you quitting on him. And then maybe you're here today. Say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I don't know for sure I'm saved. I don't know if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. I don't know what the promises of God are really like, but let me tell you something. God promised you he'd give you eternal life. He promised you. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. He's the only one that could go ahead and pay that price. He went ahead and sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and to give us eternal life. And maybe you're here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Hey, you know, this is what you need to do according to the Bible. Number one, you got to realize you're a sinner. You got to understand that we're all sinners, we're all lost, and the truth of the matter is the payment of our sin is hell, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That word death there talks about hell in Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. So number one, if you want to be saved, you got to understand you're lost, and you can't go ahead and be saved only through Jesus Christ. Number two, there's a price on sin. Number three, Jesus, he paid that price, and all you have to do is open your heart. Boy, let me encourage you, don't leave this place without knowing Jesus as your Savior. I said it a few minutes ago that I love being saved. Yeah, it goes like this. Life does. But life goes like this whether you're saved or unsaved. You know what? But you know what? When we're going through it, at least we have the one that can help us carry us through it. We know the one. But maybe, I don't know where you are at today. But if God's spoken to your heart in just a few minutes, the music will play. Why don't you go ahead and just talk to God about it? Why don't you just go ahead and say, okay, God, you know my burden here. And be specific and say, okay, God, why don't you just do that? Maybe you're here today, you're not going to, but maybe you just need to, you haven't been to an altar in quite some time. You just want to go ahead and say, God, you know what? Whatever you want to do with me, you want to use me, I'll submit to you, whatever you want me to do. But maybe you're number three. This is very important. You don't know for sure you're saved. Why don't you decide today, that you come to know Jesus as your personal Savior, our Heavenly Father. Very simple story, familiar story. But I can't help but wonder, Noah, perhaps feeling alone at times. Just like we all do from time to time. And Lord, I do ask you this morning to, Holy Spirit, you work on hearts. You do that which you can only do. I, as your servant, the very best I could through you, I preached your word, your message. But if there's heavy hearts here today, God, I pray, God, that you'll give them comfort. Give them some relief. Show your reality to them, Lord. There's others here that things are okay, but I pray, God, that you'll just continue to use them mightily as good testimonies. I pray, dear God, that if there's someone here you're not saved, they're not saved, that they'll come to know you and become a child of God today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In just a moment, the music's going to play. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing. I don't know what he's dealing with you in your heart today, but I would plead with you. I would plead with you. Why don't you just go ahead and bring your heavy burden to the cross. Just give it over to Jesus. Maybe you're here today, you just need to make some decision. If you are here today, you don't know for sure you're saved. Why don't you, I'm going to stand down front. Why don't you come to me and say, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I'm not a child of God, but I want to know how. And you shake my hand. I will not embarrass you, but someone will sit down and show you from the Word of God how you could know 100% sure that you're going to heaven. If you're in some in one of them categories or just some other thing that the Lord is speaking to you about, why don't you decide today that you're going to go ahead and just make whatever decision the Holy Spirit's leading you to make. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the music's going to play. Why don't you step out and respond to whatever the Holy Spirit's doing right now. The music's going to play.